Matters with certified financial planner Dave Petzo. Dave answers your questions about personal finance. He provides insight into making the most on your money using over 20 years of experience. Money Matters is brought to you in part by Petzo Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank, with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Petzo, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional. And now the host of Money Matters, Dave Petzo.
And good morning. It is I, and this is the first time I think I've hosted a morning show, and I go back a long ways. For those of you who don't know, this of course coming in here, Ray Amaya on the board. This reminds me, of course, of the old days, right? The golden days with John and Chris, and of course we lost John a couple years ago, but in reflecting on this, I couldn't help, of course, think of all the great people I've met on this show through the years. And you're going to hear from one of them later on, but and that's Reverend Bill. But all the people have come and gone through these doors over the years, and how special radio is. It's crazy when you think back of how different radio is. And it is today. And I think most people that listen to radio regularly get it. But those that don't, they don't understand what it's like to have that back and forth, that feel from that immediate response, if you will, from the audience, even people that don't call in. Whether you're walking through Costco or hanging out somewhere and people will say, I heard that comment or I listened to you, I really enjoy this or that. I'm sure there's people that walk by and go, yeah, that's that jerk that says this stuff and that stuff, but they don't say anything. So but you get that feedback. And I hope people will call and feedback today, but it's a different avenue. It's so very different, a community radio. And I never thought we'd have that kind of magic back. I really didn't. I thought it was gone, and it was gone for good. And I thought that the satellite radio and everybody playing their own music in their cars and the younger generation, the millennials, none of them listen to the radio anyway. And they don't. I get that. Very few do. But, the rest of us, we're not dead yet. And then it pops into town Kevin Miller, who's got this impossible task. Since John and Chris left, tried a couple other things, and it didn't really work, and ratings are falling down. Everybody's gone, right? It's just kind of gone. And Kevin comes in, he's brand new, and nobody likes the new kid. Nobody likes a new kid because he's not John, he's not Chris. Nobody likes that guy. And it just kind of keeps building an audience. And how unique it is to have the kind of community that Kevin has created, we have created, all of us that listen. And it's really different. It's really special. It's hard to do. It's hard to engage every day. It's hard to be plugged in every day. I get to do this one day a week. And people often ask me, gosh, giving up your Saturdays for 30 years? That's just crazy. Who does that? And I was like, who doesn't want to do that? This is just crazy fun. It can be crazy hard. You have multiple opportunities to put your foot in your mouth. You feel like Donald Trump every day. It's just a constant thing. You're always, I could have done that better, thought that better, said that better. It's okay because they're with live, with the chance to elaborate on something and not have to always speak in bumper sticker language. It's fun to do TV, and I get a great opportunity to do that too. But radio, wow, you get to explain things. You get to run with them. That's different, really different. It's magic. And it's fun to be part of that magic. I don't know where today is going to totally go. I've only got one guest. And hopefully we'll have about 12 others. Meaning your phone calls. So I do want to go the direction you all want to go. But I also want to talk about, if you will, what I often talk about on Saturdays. All the doom and gloom. Why do markets work anyway? Why haven't they collapsed? Why are people fleeing the markets? Why are they leaving the markets in droves? How did that transition to, I want to get paid zero interest rates, I want out of this thing that's paid 10% per year? How does that make sense? It's not rational. So why? I ask the question, do you know why? Why is it so hard for us to handle our investments day to day? Why do we just, oh, the market went down. Oh, God, I don't know if I'll ever retire. When market corrections are normal, this is what happens. Why is there a laser beam focus in our minds on price? Why do we think we can figure out things we've never figured out before? Why can't we, in our own minds, know that we don't know what the future is, we never have? Why do we think we're better at predicting things than we are? Why do stocks keep going up in spite of all the doomsday reports? Why is it that so much financial discussion goes on that's the exact same discussion that occurs year after year after year? Meaning, for example, right now, interest rates. Can we just quit talking about when the Fed will raise interest rates? I mean, is it possible that there will come a time when we won't parse the Fed meetings, and that, thank goodness, is going to account for the next 24 hours worth of news and the next week's worth of editorials in the financial rags? Or is that possible? Can we ever get to that point? It leads me to say this. Don't you think that we're getting too much reporting? Don't you think that there's just too much? The Federal Reserve, too much contemplation about what the Fed's going to do. And here's the secret. We'll talk about this some more later. But now, I'm not going to tell you the secret. I'm just going to ask you the question. You think about it. And later today, we'll talk some more about it. Do you think raising interest rates is disastrous to the stock market? I mean, many people do. Maybe you do too. Do you think an interest rate increase is disastrous to stocks? That's what's going to tip this market over. Like the end of QE was going to tip this market over. Like when the Fed raised rates the first time, it was going to tip the market over. When the Fed quit buying bonds, it was going to tip the market over. Like that. Like this is it. The thing. And what does tip the market over mean? Does it mean it goes down 5%? Does it go down 10%? Do we go down 20%, 30%, 50%? Does it all end? I mean, do we like restart like with a new, like Bitcoin? Is that what end of world stuff means? Is that what we mean? Because I think it's important to define, because if we're saying, you know, no, I do agree that stocks have been the best performing vehicle, bar none, nothing's close, not even on the same planet. It's ridiculous to think of anything else to invest in over the long term. Nothing has come close. I get that. But I'm worried about X, Y, and Z, and so I'm going to wait for what? Because what we need to do then is define what that looks like. Because when the market goes down 5%, we're really sure, because that's like chaotic. And then it's all over TV, you know, market crash today. Investors were fleeing. You know, there's blood running on the streets if we're down 5%. And we're to say, yeah, I was just kind of looking for that. So, you know, even in the face of, you know, going home and watching the lovely news and hearing all about this, I think that the 5 was my trigger. That's what I'm going to go in. No, if it's going down 5, we know it's going down 10. And if it goes down 10, the headlines get even worse. It's not even close. The headlines are just crazy. And this is where Kramer, if he had hair, his hair would be on fire. He'd be running around talking about how bad it was. You know, and also, of course, all the commentary would kind of sort of sound like, you know, he got out in front of all that. It's a good thing we're holding a lot of cash, you know, we take advantage when they're... Take advantage when? When? Because when it's down 10, it looks terrible. When it's down 15, it looks worse. When it's down 20, it looks like Armageddon. How do you get it back in? You don't. You don't. All this stuff looks easy in hindsight, but we live in the now. We live in the real. Not the theoretical.
Well, wouldn't you, couldn't you step aside at this point in time? Why wouldn't you buy then? I can't believe people didn't buy in 1974 when, you know, you could have bought Exxon for a dollar a share.
Yeah? Where were you in 2009? Beginning of the year. Lapping up all the stocks as the market was cratering. 600 points, down 400 in the morning, up 500 in the afternoon. You were in there buying, weren't you? We weren't. Because we live in the now. In the now. And it's crazy when we think about this. Well, Dave, it makes sense. You know, I'm getting older. But all excuses under the sun to do what? To buy high and hope it goes higher? To sell low and we're going to get in lower yet? Be that. What is the strategy? Don't have one, huh? We don't have one. I get it. We don't have one. That's what we're going to talk about today. That and much more. Much, much more. How about this for a puzzle, huh? You ready? The market's on its third anniversary of the lowest volatility ever, certainly in decades. Is that what it feels like to you? Is that what's being reported to you? Or do we say things like,
well, it'll continue to be volatile, but
no, it hasn't been volatile, but we really want to hear from you. So call us now at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I'm Dave Petso sitting in for Kevin Miller. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KIDO. This is Money Matters with Dave Petso on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KIDO.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dave Petso, and I'm sitting in for Kevin Miller. Thank you, Kevin. I hope you're getting some great rest. I know he is. It's about time. That little curmudgeon, he can't rest at all. He just never does he? He's our curmudgeon, but he's a curmudgeon. Great guy. You're going to hear a story about him. He's going to get tattled on a little bit here by Reverend Roscoe a little bit later today, this morning. Our number here is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's go to Hank. Hank, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think that the best solution to the regulatory thing is probably a constitutional convention where, for instance, if the EPA has to be justified every year, or if Congress does not renew the EPA is an agency every year, and if they don't take action, the agency or the federal regulatory thing goes right out of business. So Congress has to act, and if they don't act, and same thing with rulemaking. I think that if a rule agency passes a rule and Congress fails to affirm that rule that year, it automatically becomes null and void.
Okay, now, but we got to think about this in a practical way, Hank. Obviously, there's too many rules to, quote, vote on every year. I mean, there's just too many.
Well, that's the point. That we could do without 600 rules. In other words,
these are 600 new rules. There's probably a million rules, right? Right.
Right. But saying that if Congress fails to act on those rules, all of those rules become null and void. I don't think that you'd miss them half. I mean, I think you'd have a benefit if you could eliminate them.
Well, I think it's a good idea to start with a fresh sheet, okay? But we can't start with a fresh sheet every year and rewrite rules. I mean, it's what about traffic rules? You know, things like that. We got to, obviously, we'd have a basis there. But if you're talking...
Well,
regular.
Anything that has an economic impact, I think, needs to be ruled every year.
Okay.
And then the other thing I wanted to point out to you is I think that one of the things that would get this economy going, besides lowering the cost of energy, is the elimination of the capital gains tax in terms of getting liquidity into the economy. I also think accelerated depreciation would be in the right direction, and cutting the top rate on corporate taxes to no higher than 12% with no exemptions.
Even if we went down to 15 or even 20%, it would be a huge boon for corporations. So I was going to talk later about the fact of having trillions of dollars trapped overseas. We do, because corporations don't want it to be double taxed. But this administration absolutely will not do anything with corporate taxes, and we have become the highest corporate tax nation in the world. It's absurd.
And the other thing, of course, is the elimination of inheritance and gift taxes. I think it would be another boon to the economy.
Yeah, I don't think that would be as much of a boom. Number one, it doesn't take that much out of the economy. It's not a big number, okay? It sounds like a big number. Oh, yeah, we're going to take 50% of the billionaires' money. Not that many billionaires die every year, so it's not a big number at all. You know what the number is? It's income tax.
The people that it hurts are the farmers. Like, let's say somebody has a family farm or a farm in the Dakotas, and it's worth it. And sometimes these farms are broken up because of the inheritance taxes.
All small business. And that's why this idea that really of having like a $5 or $10 million exemption was brilliant. That just saves all the small businesses. It really does. It's a big deal. Saying that we have to have any estate tax. I'm only saying it's not a big revenue shift one way or another, whether we have it or don't. Therefore, I'd also have to argue it's not a big economic impact. It is on the smaller business. It is a big impact. You make a great point. But we do have a $10 million per family exclusion now, and that certainly covers small business.
Okay, one last point. I think that that protectionism in any form is a disaster. Frederick Bastiat, who was a French economist in the 19th century, I think effectively showed that protective tariffs was in the long term economically detrimental.
You're absolutely right. No, I always love to give the greatest example that is just stands there and stares in your face, okay? What nation dominated the world forever, and was it because of tariffs? And the answer, answer is little itty-bitty Britain did. Because they traded freely everywhere. They didn't say, you can't bring in this, you know, I don't like these people. Your wax is too cheap. We're not going to let you come in with your candles. All those things. We don't like your tea. We like whatever you bring. And if people like it, that's great. They had they ruled the world for centuries at a very, very high level because they traded freely. I'm sure there's other reasons. They have rule of law, the Magna Carta. All those things are important. But we forget that they sent their ships out and they traded freely everywhere. The commerce was off the charts for that day and age.
Yeah, and also one of the endings of people forget about the Wealth of Nations and Adam Smith was that his essential argument was against mercantilism, which was practiced by countries at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And that he recommended the independence of the American colonies because it was more to Britain's economic benefit to have the colonies independent.
Right. No, Hank, you bring up a good point. But free trade, this is the one thing that drives anybody that has an economic brain crazy about Donald Trump. Don't do this. Talk about that. Yes, we do need different trade deals. Some of them are bad. We get that. Just get a little bit, tone it down. We just want to make sure we're not heading into a protectionism. I think he's done a good shift on that, although he seems to leave his foot in his mouth on most other items. I think he's made a very good shift on the trade issue. I don't think people think he's going to be a terrible protectionist president at all. I think they think he'd be fine. Go ahead.
My feeling about Donald Trump is that, you know, Hillary, it's 100% that's going to be bad. With Trump, it may be 50%, but I'll take if I was a gambling man or betting on that stock, I'd take the 50% rather than the 100% certainty of failure.
Absolutely. I agree. We have a known criminal, and the thing that drives me absolutely crazy. Okay, I'll just one more thing here. This just drives me nuts. We don't even talk about the fact that since Hillary's emails as Secretary of State have been hacked. You don't think that the Iranians and the Saudis and the Chinese are like, you know, well, hey, for $1 billion, we'll share with you the state secrets here, here, here. They know it all. But this is going to be the President of the United States, and they're going to, you know, I don't think you want everybody to know about that deal you did over here, you know, with the Saudis. You're right. Why don't we sign that trade deal over here? Let's take care of that. The President of the United States is going to be blackmailed. We don't even talk about it.
Most certainly.
Most certainly will be. Will absolutely be pressured with significantly, stunningly sensitive data that she doesn't want to get out. But that's okay. We're gonna have our finger over the button and have somebody have a hold over us. It's unbelievable to me. It's just frightening.
But that's always been Hillary. She wants the rules to apply to other people, but not to herself.
Yeah. Well, I know, but they got information on her now. We know that they do. Everybody knows that they do. And I think that will be used to pressure what could be the President of the United States into making decisions that aren't for the good of the United States, but for the good of the secrets of the Clinton Foundation, Clinton family. Crazy.
Well, thank you for taking
my
call.
Thank you. Have a good day. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. dave@petsofinancial.net if you prefer email, and that would be fine. No problem at all. We're going to talk about data mining in today's second hour. Data mining, what is that? This is what people do all the time. They pick out little bits of data to make a case for why something's going to happen. Normally, this is done today beautifully on the internet. It's often done in a case where you take something and you start parsing it around. Well, this chart looks exactly like 1938, so the market's going to crash. Or this amount of debt on this certain duration has killed every country in the past. We take little bits to determine what's going to happen. And when it doesn't happen, we just move on to the next data point to sell the newsletters. Because fear sells. Fear sells. Optimism. Hey, it's going to work out. I know. You know, I don't know what that guy's smoking. He's not very smart. At least he's happy, I guess, you know. But people who think things are going to work out, they are optimists. They're plowing forward. They're moving forward with innovation, creation, starting businesses, believing in the future, throwing deep. They're just not very good thinkers. You know, it's the people that are fussing on the sidelines, the people in the stands, doing nothing except complaining, throwing rocks. Looking for Uncle Sam, somebody, Big Brother, to take care of them. Give me more. Give me more. Give me more. And it's just a situation where we do this. And for some reason, we have a tendency to believe much more the negative. The fear. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The bearish case always sounds smarter. But it's really weird because all the evidence is it's going to work out okay. It always has. But if you say something like that, you're just a Pollyanna, a non-thinking Pollyanna. Oh, yeah, yeah, there he goes again. It'll be okay. But then you got a guy scratching on his beard, tugging on his beard, and complaining about how bad it is. Really concerned. You kind of get that crinkle. It's better if you have giant eyebrows, and they kind of, when you scrunch your face, they kind of pull those two brows together. And then you can stare into the camera and go, I'm really worried about when QE stops. I'm really worried about the pigs nations. I'm really worried about Brexit. Oh, God, you're right. I better not invest. Whew.
He's smart. Yes, he's smart. He's successfully kept people from investing for the last 30 years. Brilliant. Brilliant man. Nobody's made money with that man his whole life. He's just brilliant. But we follow him. We continue to. It's tricky. It's tricky. It's hard. We have to fight our human nature, don't we? Anyway, we'll talk about data mining. We'll talk about the fact that this market's low volatility. And we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. But right now, I've got to take a break. So we're going to take a break. I'm Dave Petzo. I'm sitting in for Kevin Miller. We will be right back to take your calls.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KITO. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KITO.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. I am Dave Petzo sitting in for Kevin Miller, our buddy. And thank you, Kevin, for letting me sit in today. It is an honor to sit in for you. I've done this before. I've sat in an afternoon before. I've never actually done morning. And I started talking about this because I can't help it. The ghost of, if you will, or the spirit of John DeWayne here. And just thinking about radio and how it's evolved over the years. Or devolved, I guess, is kind of what I was saying earlier. It's a different world. But, you know, the thing I really wanted to say with that is not, hey, wait a minute, this is Kevin's program, is this. Kevin came into a really difficult place where a very popular host and a very great man, John, and Chris, not to dismiss that at all because they were an amazing team. And but, of course, with John passing away, Chris is still in the area doing radio. But at any rate, I just wanted to say this. Kevin came into a situation after John and Chris had left and they tried a few other things and it just wasn't really working. And then Kevin came in, the outsider. Nobody knew him. A very difficult task. And he just built it up until we have a nice community out there of people that can really share. It's a different thing. Radio is so different. And for those of us that get a chance to do it, it's an amazing gift in our lives. For those of us who participate in it and love it day to day, it's back. It's nice. I really, not to be a pessimist, because I'm usually not, I really thought 10 years ago it was fading away and fading away for good, you know, with all the satellites and all that stuff. But, those, you know, it's a deeper connection and a deeper thought process. I just love doing it. And I know people in radio feel the same way. It's a different ballgame. It's really different than doing TV or anything else. You get a chance to think out loud. And that's what we're doing here, aren't we? We all are, right? I hear you, you hear me, and then I hear myself when I'm saying something. That was pretty stupid. No, you know, maybe I'd elaborate on that. That was okay. We think out loud with radio, don't we? And maybe that's just me, but that sure works for me. You know, I want to take just a moment here before we get to the top of the hour here. And say this too. We're going to talk in the next hour. I want to toss these potential questions out. Okay, do you want to talk about these things? All right. Why do stocks keep going higher? Why? I'm going to talk about that right off the top. Why do we see the market only as a price mechanism? Why do we freak out every time the market does what it always does? It goes up most days, comes down some days, always goes to all-time highs. And then trades off those highs. But we look to freak out whenever we have an absolutely normal, certain to occur over and over again all the days of our lives. Correction. And this is doomsday. Why? Why do we do this? I mean, it's like the definition of dumb behavior is I want to freak out, sell out after something falls. And something that all my life has worked. Why do we do that? How do we stop doing it? Is a better question, right? And what are you worried about? What's the next shoe to drop in your mind? Why do we think that the market's volatile when it's been at the lowest volatility of its, like, life? I'm serious. We do. And then I want to pose this really weird philosophical question, okay? Because I'm watching the Olympics. But I'm doing something else. I'm listening to this book, Unbroken. And... you know, that's the World War II, right? That's the You know, we have an awful lot of Japanese neighbors, so it's in the Ontario and Payette area and all. And so I certainly don't, you know, I don't want to bring all that up. But it was really a story about the Japanese, unbelievable Japanese abuse of POWs. Louis Zamperini, the Olympian, was the specific story of this, but there are multiple stories in the book. If you, you know, I don't know how many of the movie covered. I probably won't watch the movie just from the simple fact that the book's just too compelling and too detailed. I just would probably just be like everybody else who goes, ah, the book was a lot better. But when you're going through this and I'm thinking about how all these people, they're just so they're being so brutalized. 38% of them died. By the way, just as a point of comparison, 1% of Americans in German prison camps died. 38% died in Japanese prison camps. So it was a really brutal, terrible, horrible situation. And yet these folks came back. And they had incredible emotional problems. There's no question about that.
But this is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's talk station, 580 KITO.
Hello and welcome and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KITO. It's also Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. Now, we're going to have we have a few minutes, of course, left in this first hour. But then when we shift over in the next hour, it's going to be about 25, 30 minutes or so, and then I am out of here. We've got that recording that Kevin and I do from the week before. We have heard nothing, I mean literally nothing, except thumbs up from that. I just reversed the order. Usually that's the first thing out. Made Ronaldo get out of bed early this morning to get in here. It was not very nice of me, but I got a tea time. We'll all survive. Hey, I have one quick thing before we jump into some more things here. I got an email from, I'm pretty sure it's Phil. And for the life of me, Phil, if you are listening, would you please reshoot that question? I have dug through everything because I have owed you an answer to that question for the last couple of weeks. I wanted to have a segment on it, and I just don't want to guess at what it was. I think it was something to do with income in retirement, and but I don't want to guess. So, Phil, please, if you're listening, shoot that email question again or give us a call. I'd love to get that in the next few minutes so we can take care of that top of the next hour, okay? All right. So we've talked about today why people are fleeing the market, but here's one of the things that I think – is not the root cause. I'm not saying there's a cause because I'm asking this question of everyone. Why are they? What's the matter with us? There's something fundamentally wrong with us human beings. To leave something and not come back, have not come back to the greatest investment for the average person ever. Nothing's even close. We've talked about that. Nothing's close. This is irrational. It's completely irrational behavior that people don't run to the stock market. It's irrational. And so when we're saying this, and I'm asking this question why, I'm not saying this is the answer. I really want to try to understand. Because you always hear people, it's been the upset in the market. Like that hasn't happened before. Well, but we got so much bad information out there, and it's just like it's Federal Reserve and QE and Obama, for God's sake. Yeah? Jimmy Carter was awesome. What the heck? Come on. There's not... We got to think about this. There's a deep fundamental something that's going on. One of the things that I think is a problem for people is that we only see price as the defining answer for our risk, for what our portfolio values are, not price, value, in other words, what we receive. We only see it based on price, and we fixate that price every day. And further, We get on our computers. Tip, 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 tip. Ah! Oh, our net worth went up. The next day rolls around. Brrr. Honey, get the scotch out. It was a bad day in the market. Huh. We could be talking about a 30-year or a 40-year, 50-year portfolio. But what we want to do is we want to fuss on it and fuss over day-to-day movements. Weird. It really is weird. Now when we think about it, so let's pull this down to like a really narrow range, if you will, okay? Right? Really narrow. So we can kind of hopefully understand how bizarre that really is. Now, it's not bizarre if it's Google and doesn't pay a dividend. Price movement is the only thing that matters. But the thing is if every day you're fixating on the price movement of Google, I think you better sell it. Really. I do. Okay, now, but this is the point. Let's take Procter & Gamble. Okay, they make soap. I know, it's really high-tech stuff. Soap, diapers, stuff like that. And they've been doing it for like, I don't know, 130 years. It's a long time. But they've actually raised their dividend for 60 years in a row. Pretty monumental. And just as a quick aside, everybody's heard this before if you listen to the show, they paid 1 penny per share per quarter in 1970. They now pay 68 cents per share per quarter. Wow. Wow. I mean, think about that. 68-fold increase in income. Nonstop. Now, in 1970, we had 1973-4 market crash. I'm pretty sure Procter & Gamble went down a lot. What did you do that year, though, as a shareholder? You received more income. I'm sure in 2000 when the market crashed, in 1987 when the market crashed, in 1993 and 4 when we had the whatever currency crisis, the Asian and then the Russian and then the Asian bird flu and all that. Ah, we're all going to die. Remember that? No, you don't remember that because it just was not important once it was resolved. But remember when Kramer was on TV going, oh, God, I don't know, the Ebola thing. Oh, it was, nothing good can happen until Ebola is brought under control. All commerce is going to stop. Oh, my gosh. Of course, that marked the bottom of the market. Remember the old Ebola fear. Okay, we have all of these, and markets go down. Stock prices go down. And Procter & Gamble raises their dividend, raises their dividend, raises their dividend, raises their dividend. You mean during Jimmy Carter? Every year. When interest rates went to 1%, yeah, every year in the last 60 years, they've raised their income more than anything else on the planet. It's crazy, except other stocks. See, if we focus on income rather than price, is that maybe we're focused too much on the price movements, perhaps? Huh, maybe we'll get a chance to really elaborate a little bit more on that. Maybe you have an idea. Why are people fleeing the market? We're taking a break for Fox News. Hour number two, upcoming. Dave Pezzo sitting in for Kevin Miller, and it is my pleasure, honor to be with you today. I hope that you will pick up the phone, give us a call, 580-KIDO. And if you prefer email, that's fine too. It's dave@petzofinancial.net. And you have to forgive me. Some of my first hour, I've been talking a little bit about my buddy John and the old radio days and how much fun they were and so on and so forth. But I say that to say this. When radio was in real trouble, and it was in real trouble, satellite, iPods, play your own music, how are we going to find advertisers because the millennials won't listen to radio? It's true. And in most markets, that's flat true. But not here. Our curmudgeon friend, Kevin, came in from Pittsburgh, worked his tail off, still does today, to create a community of people that, if you will, we think out loud together, right? We try to puzzle through things. and we enjoy that kind of lengthy interaction. We don't want our news in a bullet point. 24-hour reel, just same stories, same breathless stories. How's the hurricane going? Well, we're down here, and it's same story. Same story. I really don't have anything to report at all. Same as last time. Can't say that. So they breathlessly tell us the same stuff, same nothing, without any real thought or depth of thought. So thanks, Kevin, for really, it's just awesome. Great stuff. He's created a nice community here, and thanks for letting me be part of that. So I've been tossing out a couple questions here, and I want to, this is one that has been I've been thinking about. I'm going to start with this. People talk about, you know, I touched this earlier, you know, liberals, conservatives, whatever. And I get in the political season that everybody gets to be put into a box. Here's my box. So you can put me in this box. This is the box I want to be in. I have an amazing life. I have a really blessed, amazing life. I'm free to choose what I do most of the time. I only have a couple thousand bosses, my clients. I'm basically free to choose what I do, where I want to live, who I want to be, where I want to serve and worship my God. Say what I want to say. And I want you to have that too. You see, in a political season, what people will say is, oh, that's a real nice conservative thought. Rich guy, you're just trying to protect your stuff. You don't want us to raise taxes and regulations on you because you want to protect what you have. Not true. Yeah, I want to have what I have. Yeah, sure. I want to grow what I want to grow. But my focus is everybody should have that opportunity. See, because you can't have that at all if you're given that. It's not a gift. It's a gift to be alive. It's a gift to be born here. It's all those things that I've been blessed. But I can't give that to you. You have to accept that and take that. Run with that. Create your own life. Believe that you have an amazing life. But if we embrace a bigger and bigger and bigger government, a bigger central being, a monster, if you will. It's just a hog. It just absorbs everything. It just sucks up everything. It doesn't have a heart. It doesn't feel. It just says stuff. But it doesn't really feel. It has no empathy. We can only have that for the people around us, really. An entity can't. A body, a government body can't. I want you to have that, the ability to go and be what you want. I will get out of your way. That's why I feel so strong. The liberals are dead wrong. They're just so wrong. It's all a feel-good, sound-good thing that is not about you finding you, finding your way, finding your path. I don't know that conservatives are either anymore. It's like what is the conservative, quotes, movement? What is a Republican? I don't know. I don't know what they are. I knew what they used to be. I knew who Ronald Reagan was. He believed in me, that I could regulate myself and knew what was best for me, better than he or
the government would, and that I freely deciding for myself good choices and bad would create a better America, and it did. It does. It always does. And he just wanted to try to be out of the way. We have to have a framework, of course. Chaos is really not what we want. But that's the box I want to be in, right? Is the one that says that I have an amazing life and I want you to too. But in political season, it's so, we got so many labels, right? There's so many labels. And everybody has to fit in a nice little narrow thing. It felt like the year to me that this was going to be, we've got crazy Bernie on one side. We've got an absolute out-and-out lying criminal on the other. And we've got a talk show outsider. Blowhard. Can't keep his foot out of his mouth. It's an astounding, weird election. But what it says to me is people are just fed up with status quo big government that just bloats and bloats and bloats, that regulations bloat and bloat and bloat. They want a wrecking ball. So I want to find the wrecking ball. Who do I think would be the best wrecking ball? I think we got one. Because I don't think Washington, D.C. works at all. And I don't want them to work great. I want it to be hard. This is another thing that people miss, right? Government isn't supposed to be easy. It's not supposed to be, well, we're going to dance a little bit on the left, or then we're going to be on the right. We're a little more conservative now, so let's just roll everything back. No, it's supposed to be hard to change things. That's why the Constitution is that way. That's why there's a Senate, a do-nothing Senate. Now, Harry Reid took that off the charts. I get that. He was the most do-nothing person in the history of the planet. I get that. That was dysfunctional. All right? But the reality is it's supposed to be hard. We're not supposed to be like a little bit left so we become a socialist nation. We lean a little bit right. And it all repeals. It's not supposed to be like that. But it's not supposed to be run by bureaucrats. I don't know what a bureaucrat is, honestly. I think they push paper around from one end of the table to another. They sit around and have meetings to decide to have meetings. And they grow. We need more people in here. No, they don't need more people. We need less people like that. Nobody makes a decision. Let's make decisions by committee. Well, that always works functionally just grand, doesn't it? It never works. It's a terrible idea, but as long as we all in our PC world, it sounds good. I just want to have a free education. Well, Bernie, how the heck are we going to pay for that, you moron? We've already got $20 trillion in debt. We got $78 trillion in unfunded liabilities. Oh, it's okay. It's everybody. It's a free thing. Yeah. It's nonsense. Nobody has any real, if we just get out of the way. Government doesn't solve problems. They create bigger problems. They never solve problems. Never. That's the box I'm in. And I don't even know what box that is anymore. Because it's not, you just can't point it just at the liberals. You just can't point it at Democrats. You just can't. Yes, it's a bigger problem for them. But it isn't just them. It requires now lobbyists, attorneys, endless streams of people just to get through paperwork. To do anything. So if people have a dream to do something, it's a miracle they can ever open the door to a business. Especially a different one. Can you start a restaurant where one just failed? Sure. Sure. You want to start a company like, say, Micron? Good luck. You want to start a company like Simplot? Good luck. Sensi, good luck. But if you are a big company, you have connections. You're connected. Life is good. Why rock the boat, man? Why rock the boat? whether you're on the left, you're on the right, life's pretty good. I don't think they want that life for us. They'd have to give up control over you and me. I don't know what you think about this, but I think it's a big issue. Regulation, overreach, sound good policies that don't address the real problems of trillions in debt. Our tax system, our rules system is broken. Somebody come and break it, will you? I mean, just break it. Don't tweak it. I don't need another 1,000 pages in the IRS code. We're just tweaking a little bit. There's too many loopholes over here. We can just close some loopholes. No, we don't. It's broken. We have a million word tax code. 1 million words. We have the highest corporate taxes in the world. In the country that showed the world how commerce was supposed to be done, how freedom is, what freedom does. How is this possible? Drip by drip by drip. We need to wreck it. We don't need to tweak it. We need to blow it up. We don't need more buildings in D.C. We don't need that. We don't need more people at the EPA. We need less. Not because I want an unclean environment, but we don't get a better environment with more rules and rules makers. What do you think? Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I got to take a break. Scott, you're up to bat next. If you prefer email, it's dave@petzofinancial.net. And yeah, we're going to get back to finances because finances are cool too. But we want to hear from you as well. What do you want to talk about? Ring us up, 580-KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's talk station, 580-KIDO. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's talk station, 580-KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Petzo sitting in today for Kevin Miller, and glad you're with us. If you want to join us, it's 580-KIDO. Also, if you prefer email, it's dave@petzofinancial.net. So let's go to the phones. We've got Scott hanging on. Scott, thanks for holding with us.
Good morning, Dave. Appreciate the passion this morning.
Oh.
To balance out all the apathy that's out there, that people aren't engaged in understanding what's taking place either locally, regionally, or at the national level.
Yeah, well, I it's not hard to get me wound up as people that I sometimes put my foot in it, that's for sure.
Well, I wondered if they just compressed all of Kevin Miller all into you for one Thursday morning.
That's some compressing. He's got a lot to say, for sure.
Well, all I have to say this morning is, where is John Galt?
Ah, the Atlas Shrugged, huh?
Well, you start to sound just like pages out of the book.
I don't think that's hard to do, right? I mean, we're in a circumstance now that seems pretty obvious to me that we have got to, we need a wrecking ball. We don't need tweaks. We need to stop this now. It's gotten so out of control, and bureaucracy grows naturally. It is a tumor. I just think we don't think it's just to like stop. Oh, well, you know, it'll slow down, stop. No, it doesn't. Government grows or it shrinks, and it doesn't shrink on its own. It shrinks by design only. It grows on its own.
Agreed.
But, it's an important turning point where we are, and this is part of what I asked earlier, as part of this real thought of this, is this the last days of the real Olympics, where people think long-term, they think multi-generationally, they think bigger than themselves, they think about their children, they actually do. They don't think about right here, right now. Because you see, America, for me, I'm pretty sure, even if I have another 50 years, I'm pretty sure it'll still be okay. Not great, and it might only take 20 years to really disintegrate badly, but I've done well enough financially. I can find a doctor. I know people, right? I think I'm going to be okay. But what about the person that hasn't done as well or is in their 20s coming along? What's that going to look like? What's the world going to look like when they're 60 or 70 years old, right? I don't think that's right, and I don't think there's people that think very long-term anymore. Everybody's just comfortable.
A generation that's growing up quite apathetic and then also surrounded in instant gratification, and when they don't get what they want instantly, even whether they've worked for it or not, they want it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're also apathetic to the rest of the hard work that takes place of getting a country where it needs to go.
Or a business where it needs to go. I mean, think about it on a local level, because this is important. Like, you know, you think about this as being an employee in a place, right? How do you stand out? You know, you hear that. I talk to my kids. How do you stand out? I want to talk to my grandkids about it, right? How do you stand out? Well, think about this. If everybody else is sitting around and you're instead studying and growing and hustling, don't you think people are going to notice, like, right off the bat?
Today's environment, you see people that do work hard, they stand out very quickly.
They do. You know, I think about this now. I think about this, for example, there's a Channel 7 reporter. I don't know where she's from, but they kind of, it's not here locally. She's like from Salt Lake or something, right? And kind of feeds into these other ones. But, you know, they've been talking about the fact that she's had like 30 or 40 hours sleep the entire time. This lady hustles.
Mm-hmm.
So this lady hustles. It's noticeable. Do you think she's going to be promoted in the future? I sure as heck do. And she shows that she loves her job. It comes through. She's not just doing a job. It comes through. I think this is what I'm saying is she stands out, doesn't she? Just in a day-to-day thing while you're sitting watching the Olympics. Anyway.
Standing up for passion and drive and willingness to get up in the morning and not only just show up, but to be able to do everything that needs to be done. And probably even more than what she's being asked to do, because others that are standing around are saying, well, that person will take care of it. I'll let them take care of it rather than doing my responsibility.
It's something when we talk about this, too. We talk about this all the time, right, when people are talking about, you need to find something that you really like to do. Well, of course you do. That's great. But it's more than that.
Yeah,
when you find something, what's that?
Mike Rowe made a great commentary on that several weeks ago. It's fine to have passion, but if you don't have passion and you're willing to meet that passion and work hard, that passion really doesn't matter.
Right. But when you find something you really like to do that moves you, it's not hard to do at all. You're not working at all. It's something that you like to do. Now, for most of us, and I think all people, because people do need people, even if they don't think they do, being a hermit in your house, this is not good. There's something mentally wrong. I'm serious. Absolutely serious. People have to get out. You have to be around people, even if you're an introvert. But when we think about that and you're around people and you care about that people, you have passion for people, you have love for people, you're not working. You're just with people. It's not work. It's hanging out with people. And that's when life gets super fun.
You're being a productive part of society.
Right. And that's when magic happens. If you think about that, that's when magic happens. When people are doing what they love to do with other human beings, it's not just the amount of hours they're putting in. It's the focus, the energy, the love of what you're doing and the drive for completing it as a group. It just is an amazing – that's when magic happens. Magic, weird stuff that we all get to walk around with, like iPhones. You know, crazy, cool things.
It goes back to your point about how regulation and government is there to impede that rather than to promote it.
That's the big point, Scott. It destroys your love for what you do when you push papers for no reason. And that's a lot of our day. That's a lot of any entrepreneur's day. one of my closest friends is a phenomenal doctor. He's always been super busy. People fly in from all over the country to see him because of the new rules over the past few years. He has to see 30% less patients. What in the world does that serve when a great physician that has people lined up out the door and can't get in to see him? It does nothing but serve the bureaucratic beast. It does not help one human being. It hurts 30% of them because they can't get to see him. That's in every industry, and we just don't stop and go, stop it. Just stop it. This is too much. Just stop doing this stupid thing. We got to stop this. This is nonsense. We're killing ourselves. We make life not fun. It should be fun and exciting, and everybody should be just having a great time and doing what their passion is, not pushing papers around. Thanks, Scott.
Appreciate your passion. Let's not be apathetic. And who is and where is John Galt?
There you are. Scott, thanks for your call. Have a great day. Bye now. You're listening to Dave Pezzo. I'm filling in for Kevin Miller. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KITO. This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KITO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. I'm Dave Pezzo, sitting in for Kevin Miller. Thank you, Kevin. What a fun day. All right. You want to talk finance? I'm going to start there. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about. But I want to bust a couple of myths here. Let's start with one that is just all the time talked about. All the time. Probably talked about today a lot because, you know, we had the Fed minutes yesterday. Oh, but then, of course, we're CNBC and we're all that. And so we've got to be like breathlessly talking about the Fed minutes. Are they going to raise interest rates once, twice? What do you think? Another quarter of a point? Oh, no. Oh, no. The horrors of all that. I got to get out of the market. Really? On a quarter of a point when we're sitting really close to zero? Well, are they going to raise in September? Do you think once, maybe even twice before the end of the year? That's terrible for stocks. I better get out. Okay. If you want to get out because interest rates are going higher, and rising interest rates are bad for stocks, this would be the first time in history that 6 months from raising interest rates, the market would be down. First time. Well, I thought interest rates rising was bad for stocks. Okay, well, here's the political part of the program, or me being a politician. Well, that's true, and it's not true. On the one hand, on the other hand, when interest rates are super low, which means below 5%, we're not even below 5%, we're way below 5%. When interest rates are below 5%, almost never does a raise in interest rate have the market fall. In fact, the market goes up almost all the time. Are you ready for this one, though? When interest rates are below 4% and we raise interest rates, and oh, are they way below 4%, 100% of the time the market's higher 6 months out. So Jim Cramer and the rest can make the big bet, because it's me, it's a big bet. Never before has this happened, but I'm going to proclaim it will happen this time. Interest rate rising is not good for... No, that's not true when interest rates are really low. Now, when interest rates are above 5% and we raise interest rates, the market almost always is lower 6 months out. And you say, why? It's actually fairly straightforward. It's common sense. When interest rates are this low, it's typically because the economy is not very good. Yeah, okay, that kind of displays this. And it is improving from a not very good level. Well, that would be a good thing, wouldn't it? I mean, if the economy is improving from a not very good level, so interest rates are going higher, that would actually be a good thing, right? Yeah, that would be a good thing. It is a good thing. Period. If, in fact, though, interest rates are high and going higher, it's because of fears of inflation, that's not good. We need to slow down the economy. Not good. But when interest rates are this low and going higher, it's a healthy thing. Yeah, the Federal Reserve, stupid people, a bunch of morons, they're just really trying to wreck our world. They're not. But they are fallible. And I, like most people, in hindsight, of course, because we didn't know prior what was going to happen, but certainly most people have felt for a long time that the Fed really needed to get this over with and get raising interest rates, and that would not be bad. It would be good. Not all. The loudest of the commentators doesn't think that. But remember this, when you're hearing different comments from people, no matter how smart they sound. Yeah, I've been doing this for 35 years. Okay, well, you've been doing it wrong. I'm still making mistakes. I've been doing this for 35 years. It's not always right. And the future does change once in a while. This could be the first time that interest rates going up is bad for stock. It could be. But it has never happened before. That's a big call. That's a big, big call. So number one, raising interest rates, myth number one. It really matters who the president of the United States is, because otherwise this is going to be a big deal. This is a big deal. I think it's a big deal election. I do. I think it's huge. It's hugely important. I think this is why it's important. Because as we look at Democrats, Republicans, the economy, the stock market, I'm talking about the stock market, not the economy. Two different things, which we can talk about maybe later today, too. Two different things. Wall Street versus Main Street. Big difference, folks. Kevin and I talk about that all the time. Quit betting on the economy or betting against the economy when you think you're betting about the stock market. Okay? Here's why I think this is incredibly important. Election. This is not the economy. I hate listening to Wall Streeters. Well, there's more certainty with Hillary. I don't think it'll be, you know, it's kind of, and Wall Street hates uncertainty. Yeah, because life is only about our pocketbook and our immediate pocketbook. Yeah, it's great. And that's the way we all define risk, isn't it? We don't think about things in a long-term basis. We think about risk only. Only this narrow little thing, tiny little thing that is this. You know what that is? The price movement today. We define all volatility, all risk, as a little price movement today. Not whether I will run out of money later. Remarkable short-sightedness. Remarkable. Oh, Wall Street is, well, oh, they must be then for Hillary. Well, if they are, then all they're talking about is short-sighted. Because here's why I'm worried. More of what we have had may be more certain. And it's certainly bad. It certainly is. More bureaucracy, more paper pushing, more centralized planning, less freedom, less innovation, higher taxes, less jobs. Period. But that's not even the reason why, in my mind. I cannot wrap my mind around this. Our country has gotten to the point where our values, our expectations of our leaders, has reached a point where a known self-serving criminal absolute lying, caught over and over, 30 years of self-serving, self-dealing, lying, cheating, criminal behavior, would be accepted as a president of the United States. I thought this only happened in Turkey, Zimbabwe. In the greatest nation in the world, it's accepted. It would be accepted. It could be. That's frightening to me. But it isn't, because the market's going to tank. It's not. History says not. We'll have more myths in the next hour, but when I come back from this break, Jeremy, I'm sorry, I got to take a quick break here. Bear with me. Hang on. I want to answer your question about your 401k. I'm Dave Pezzo. I'm filling in with Kevin Miller. Thanks for listening. Our number is 580-KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo on Idaho's Talk Station, 580-KIDO. This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KITO.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. I am Dave Pezzo, sitting in for Kevin Miller today. Thanks, Kevin, and I'm sure he's off having a good vacation. Finally, that guy he can't chill. He just has a hard time chilling out. So, all right, our number here is 580-5436-580-KITO. Let's go to a good buddy of mine, Dan Long. Dano, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah. I had too many cups of coffee. I'm getting a little wound up here. So.
Yeah, it doesn't get any better than this. My daughter, she's going down to apply for a job, and I'm making her huckleberry pancakes before we take her down for a job application.
Nice.
Yeah.
That does. Anyway, you're right. That doesn't. Yeah.
I tuned into the radio, Dave, and I think Scott called in or something, mentioned something about passion and passion and passion. And, you know, very few things in the world ever get accomplished without people being passionate, right? And I love the definition for the word passion, and it is anger formed with love. And it's I hear the passion, Dave. You care so deeply about this country, about the greatness of this country, that I sense some anger, and it's good. Because nothing gets accomplished unless some people get angry. Martin Luther King wasn't, hey, I got this idea. He was angry. He was pissed. And the gentleman that the two of us try to base our lives on, when Christ came into the temple with a whip of cords, it wasn't just a suggestion. He drove them out. You know what? Again, I love your passion. Thank you for doing that. I try to be passionate as a father, a husband, a business owner. And people pay for passion. They want to use your business when you're passionate about what you do, right? So I just want to thank you for that, Dave. And I know you're gonna have the Reverend Roscoe on maybe a little later on, and very, very passionate about what he does. So thank you for your commitment to improving people's lives and believing in this country, and we need to get that message to our next generation. Again, I'm driving my daughter to a job application at 9 o'clock, and I will we'll have a nice discussion. We'll have the radio on, and we'll just talk about the passion. So thank you.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you, my friend, and I know you carry a lot of passion in your life, so I thank you as well, and all the things you're doing as as a resolute good finder. I appreciate your encouragement. That's who you are. So thanks, my friend. And I don't know, for those of you who don't know Dan, he ran a very successful, started and ran and eventually sold A1 Plumbing, which you built from you. Running around out there fixing frozen pipes in the middle of the winter. So great job on that. So you certainly know how to build a business, and you did not operate that without a lot of passion.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Have a great day. Thanks for the call.
All right, you too. You bet.
Bye. Bye now. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. All right, as we wind up this hour here, I want to go to myth number three. Myth number three. We have high volatility in our markets. The markets are super volatile. And we say this with it's like you can't hear a market commentator say, well, you know, so Joe, how do you think the market is going to be right now, you know, say for the rest of the summer? Well, you know, it'll continue to be volatile, but we're kind of constructive on it. Apparently Joe has no opinion. But we all, we're cautiously constructive. What's that? One foot in, one foot out? I'm semi-pregnant? I sort of kind of believe the market's okay, but I really don't. Come on. That's what commentators usually do, because then you don't really want to be really wrong. But the reality is, too, here's the real story. The volatility is far below average the last 3 years. Far below average. Can you imagine that? That doesn't make sense to me. Far below. I mean, volatility was 2008, 2009. Right now, and I don't just mean the last month, but year over year, the last few years, sure we had a two-day upset over Brexit. Okay? Here's another. Just reminded me of another myth. Okay? That's not volatility. That was like 2 days. That's what markets do. But it's far less volatile than average. Going back to when we think the things were not very volatile. That's the crazy part. But we continue to talk about that. Like, you know, well, it'll be volatile. But what do you mean? Like every day is supposed to be straight up or it's volatile? That's crazy. That's just crazy. Really crazy. All right. Myth four then. Brexit is bad. I'm not a Brexit expert. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't have the foresight to know over the next few years what the trade deals are going to be and how it's going to work with the EU as they exit and all that stuff. Here's what I do know. Whenever freedom, more freedom, more self-governance has come into a society, whenever in history, there's more economic growth. Okay, it's kind of what they did. But, again, remember, we live in this super short-term world. We don't want to think beyond what could happen this day to the market. Okay, so we're not going to think. So what did happen those 2 days? So, first of all, I don't think it's bad. But here's what happened. The market went down sharply 2 days. And so everybody says Brexit bad. Must be bad for the markets. It's bad for the markets. It's not necessarily bad for the markets. Here's what people have to understand.